Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
We've been talking about prosperity all this month. Great things. So this last talk, I wanted to get off of that a little, maybe expand things a bit. And the title of my talk this morning is, Who Do You Want to Be? Because this Saturday, as most of you know, is Halloween. I wore my Halloween outfit today, black and orange, socks, whole thing. Got to do it right, you know. When I was growing up, Halloween was a big deal. It was actually the start to the holiday season for us because Thanksgiving is just in a few weeks. We had a big contest at school with prizes for the best costumes, and then we had trick-or-treating in the neighborhood where the adults didn't have to go with the kids, so we had a lot more fun, and you didn't have to worry about the kind of candy you got and all that kind of stuff. How many of you here did the trick-or-treating thing when you were kids? Sure, it's an American institution, all right? Really a big deal. But in my family, with five kids spread over 16 years, whatever, in early October, because Mom had to get everybody involved, she would start asking us, who do you want to be for Halloween? Because she was going to have to make the costumes. We all knew that. And it was actually a tough question because you only had one shot. You know, there was one night, it was coming up, and then you had to wait until next year. One year I was the mummy, you know, with the torn up bed sheets and the ketchup in the blood and all that kind of stuff. One year I was Zorro. The Guy Williams one, not the Antonio Banderas one, you know, the original. And when I was wearing those different outfits, whatever it happened to be, I didn't feel like me anymore. You know, I felt like somebody bigger and stronger. I felt more important. I felt just special. And most other kids did, too, when they were wearing the costumes. But a few years ago, I got thinking, even when it's not Halloween, this is a question that we get asked a lot as we go through life, either directly or indirectly. Who do you want to be? Who do you want to be? And it's interesting, though, the question doesn't change as we grow older. The answer does. The answer changes, okay? When we were very young, we wanted to be like Mom or like Dad or like our big brother or maybe like our big sister. As teenagers, we wanted to be famous like the people we saw on TV or maybe a rock star or a sports hero, that kind of a thing. As we got into college and we started developing a life skill of some sort, we started looking at people who were successful in a certain occupation or people who were financially successful or people who were famous in their field. There were a lot of people, as they got into college and when they were asked, who do you want to be, they said, I want to be a rich person, or I want to be an important person, or I want to be a sexy person, whatever it happened to be, okay? But eventually, there came a time, or there comes a time for all of us, and I'm not exactly sure when it is, probably different for it from everybody, when a lot of people stop wanting to be anyone else, they just don't want to be the person they've become. Happens for a lot of people. Or maybe a better way to say it is, they begin to realize that they don't want to be living the life that they have ended up living. Okay, they feel like they haven't ended up doing what they would really love to be doing in their life. And pile on top of that, they feel like they're stuck with the way things are, that they can't change them. And that can be very difficult to accept, both spiritually and emotionally. And that is the time when you have that sense of despair or that sinking feeling that, is that all there is? A lot of people turn to things like drugs or alcohol or sex or television or whatever it happens to be to try and escape the trap that they feel like they're in. And if they can't do that, that's when depression sets in. Not chemical depression, but emotional and spiritual depression. And I'm not talking here about people who are so-called failures or people who are living on the street. I'm talking about people who are doctors and lawyers and movie stars and business people, successful entrepreneurs, people with money in the bank, status in the community, and some really good relationships. I'm talking about people who look from the outside, like they ought to be very happy with who they are. But as we all know from personal experience, looks can be deceiving. You see, the problem for most of us comes up when we begin to notice something. We begin to notice that who we want to be and who the world thinks we are two very different people. And what's really frustrating is we usually have a very clear picture of who the world thinks we are, but we're not sure how to describe to the rest of the world who we think we really are. And I know that sounds a little convoluted, but that's kind of the way it is. Now, one reason for this is because we are much more familiar with who the world thinks we are, because we have spent our whole life creating the image of who the world thinks we are, either intentionally or unintentionally. Many of us have allowed ourselves to be pushed and pulled and molded and shaped by life around us until we end up being someone who is acceptable to the people most important to us, like our family, for example, or our boss or our spouse or anybody else. Now, some of us were fortunate enough at an early age, depending on our parents or maybe just something inside of us, to at least partially take our life into our own hands and decide what we wanted to do with some part of it. But a lot of people never realized that they had that option. The way they see it, they got bounced around by circumstances, where they were born, who they were born to. They woke up one morning, and there they were. How'd I end up here? Here I am, okay? So as far as these people are concerned, they're not happy, and it's not their fault. That's the mentality that a lot of people are living in. And to some extent, that happens to all of us when we're growing up because we don't know any better. We don't know any better when we're young. We allow our personality to be shaped by what the world believes is best for us, by what our tribe tells us is necessary for us. And by our tribe, I mean our family, our race, our community, our religion, our socioeconomic class, whatever it happens to be. When we're young, we are so busy following other people's directions and trying to meet other people's expectations that we don't have any idea what the real me might even look like. So we just accept ourselves as sort of an as-is, all right? We feel like the comedian Lily Tomlin said a number of years ago, I loved it. She said, "I used to want to be somebody. I guess I should have been more specific." You know, great statement, okay? But when the day finally comes, and it doesn't come for everyone. That's why this is important. When our spiritual self-awareness wakes up, which is what we're doing here, trying to wake up that spiritual self-awareness, and we start looking in here instead of looking out there, we start to wonder at that point who we really are. We start to realize at that point that the me that we have been showing to the world is really an illusion. In many ways, we start to realize that there's something deeper inside of us, something real, something authentic inside of us, and we want to find it. In fact, we feel compelled to find it. The more you get into spirituality, I'm sure many of you have discovered this, you feel compelled to find it or our spirit might die. We start to feel that way. It's really, really that important. Okay, it's like the character, I love this example, the character that Meryl Streep played in Out of Africa. Remember that movie? She was sort of there off by herself in that beautiful ranch. And in that movie, she says to a friend, "I don't want to come to the end of my life and find that I have lived someone else's dream." Very powerful statement. You see, we live in a world that loves illusion. That loves illusion, and not just the Hollywood or the Madison Avenue kind of illusion, though we get enough of that, God knows. Many of us have actually become an illusion living inside of an illusion that we helped to create. We really are. Now, why do we do this? Very, very simple. We do it because we don't understand who and what we really are. That's why we do it. We don't take the time to look deep enough. We just look at the surface, which is what everybody else is looking at too. Now, part of the problem is we are all intimately familiar with our perceived limitations, with our faults, such as they are, with what's wrong with us, with things that we may have messed up in the past. And we're afraid on some level that the world won't accept us if it finds out what we've done, so we try to cover it up. We try to cover it all up. We think that we have to create this false persona in order to be accepted by the world, in order to be successful. But when we do this, once again, intentionally or unintentionally, it doesn't really matter. All we're really doing is creating a facade. We're creating a false front, and maintaining that facade is not only a never-ending full-time job, it is exhausting, and it is not at all fulfilling over the long run. So hiding who we are doesn't do anything at all to nurture our spirit. It doesn't do anything to nourish our soul. It changes our external appearance, changing the circumstances, the house we live in, the clothes we wear, our physical appearance, whatever it happens to be. But it doesn't do anything to change the inside, to change the cause behind it. And if we never change the cause, or let's say it this way, if we never change the movie in the projector, the same movie is going to keep showing up on the screen. So what's your movie? Okay, the same illusion is going to keep showing up. That's the way the law of mind works. Anyway, excuse me, there's a reason I'm talking about this, and that is because we have to be aware that this is happening if we want to allow our true self to come forth and show up in the world. It's that simple. That's why David and I and Ursula and Marilyn and Angela, whoever's up here on the platform, says so often that we need to recognize the spiritual truth of our being. That's what the reading that Marilyn had this morning was really talking about. So that means we don't need to create a false image in order to be successful in the world or to be accepted by the world. We don't need to wear a mask. We don't need to wear a mask. Remember what we've been told. Any spiritual reading you read, whether it's the formal stuff or the other books that people write, time and time again, we are told in so many words that we are created in the image and likeness of God. Has anybody here heard that before? Okay, all right. We are pure consciousness, all right, identical to the intelligence that created the entire universe. So if, instead of trying to borrow power that we can use from the outside or trying to imitate power that we see in the world by being who we aren't, we should insist on living from the power that we already have, living from this divine power that knows us better than we know ourselves. It knows us better than we know ourselves. Or think about it this way. If we began to focus the same amount of attention on our strengths that we have been focusing all these years on our weaknesses or our limitations, okay, real or imagined, doesn't matter. If we could do that, the person that we really are would probably burst forth into the world and change not only our life, but change the world around us. Because our limitations do not define us unless we allow them to. Unless we allow them to. They simply outline borders that we can expand or step across whenever we're ready. Whenever we're ready. Every great teacher, from Jesus to Buddha, all the way up through Dr. King and Mother Teresa, Gandhi, you can run through the list. Every great teacher has told us that we are more than what the world sees. We are more than what the world sees. Walt Whitman said, a man is more than what appears between his hat and his boots. Great way of saying it. Now, on a spiritual level, whether we realize it or not, we have an ironclad contract. We have an agreement with our true self, with the person that we really are. And it's an agreement that we made on the day we were born and probably before that. That's what I believe. And here's the agreement. Our true self has agreed to be completely present for us, and we have agreed to do whatever we need to do to make that happen. That's it. That's all it is. That's the agreement. And that may not be written down anywhere, but I promise you that that agreement is there. The problem is, some of us have not been keeping our end of the bargain, of the agreement. Okay, which is why we may not be enjoying our life as much as we could be. I mean, in a way, you could even say, the language is a little off from what we teach, but you could say we have an agreement with God. I think Marilyn's reading talked about that. Because we are the way that God expresses itself in the world. Okay, we and God are like that. Just like that. Absolutely, even closer than that. Okay, we need one another. We need one another. That's how life works. That's how it flows from the spiritual and the physical back and forth and back and forth. We did not create ourselves, but we are the way the power that did create us out of itself grows and evolves in the world. In the world, okay? It works through us. It works as us. Each and every one of us is infinite mind individualized. Individualized. We have been created in such a way that we're able to move, we're able to think, we're able to make choices, and we have available to us all of the wisdom and all of the power that we could ever need to support our choices, to support the choices that we make. So the question now becomes, what are we going to do with that power? What are we going to do with that power? And if the answer is, I don't know, okay, then we're probably not going to be happy with what shows up, all right? In everything we do, we have to know who we are, and we have to be comfortable with who we are. I mean, when we don't have confidence in who and what we are, and we don't have an inner acceptance of who we appear to be as we go through the world, we tend to define ourselves by looking out there. We define ourselves by looking at other people. We look at other people to decide how smart we are compared to them, how rich we are compared to them, how good-looking or successful or whatever we are compared to them. When we start to understand and accept who and what we really are, we start to become authentic. I love that word, authentic. Okay, authenticity. We start to live authentically. Authentically. And since each and every one of us is absolutely unique, it's very important that we all be our authentic self because we all have a unique contribution to make to the world. And when we do this, the great thing is it allows everybody else around us in our sphere to become authentic too. It creates a space for them to be what we have chosen to be. I mean, the fact of the matter is the world needs us to be who we are, okay? We don't need to be mental clones, whatever it is. We're sort of like the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra. Every single instrument has its own unique sound, and it stays with that sound. But when they all blend together, you get this incredible music, this incredibly powerful sound that we can all absorb from each instrument. Now, let me give you a good example of this. Examples are always helpful to me. I went through and looked at some people. I figured this is somebody that everybody knows. Anybody here ever hear of a musician by the name of Stevie Wonder? Okay, all right. Fantastic musician, right, everybody? May not be your taste, but he's good. He was completely blind from shortly after birth, born poor in inner city Detroit. His real name was actually Steveland Hardaway Judkins. Just so you know, okay? And if someone had looked at his situation when he was 3, 4, 5 years old, child there, poor blind kid growing up in the inner city, somebody would have looked at that and said, poor kid, not much to look forward to. I know how he's going to turn out. But he knew something better. He knew something better. He knew who he was. And he didn't focus on his limitations. He wanted to do everything his friends were doing. When he was growing up, he went out with his friends jumping from rooftop to rooftop to rooftop. Friends helped him a little bit. They pointed him in the right direction, and then he went. You know? Now, I thought there was a roof here. All right, anyway. So as a young boy, 8 or 9 years old, a friend of the family gave him a small keychain harmonica, one of those little things about that big, whatever, and he taught himself to play by listening to the radio. And a friend of his brother's heard him, and this friend happened to work in a new studio down the road called Motown Records, okay? And he invited him to come play, 10 years old, play and sing. And when he showed up at the studio was booked. All the rooms were full. So he went down on the street, on the sidewalk, and he started playing. And when traffic was stopped by the crowd that came to him, Motown signed him. Berry Gordy brought him in and signed him, okay? Good story. As they say, but wait, there's more, all right? So he became a star, very popular. I remember when he was starting out. But after a while, he got tired of making the same old music. He wanted to play this new music that he had created because he felt he wasn't growing as a musician, and the studio said, no, no way. You're successful like this. This is how we want you. So at the age of 21, he did what no one had done. He walked out. He walked out of Motown, and he produced his his own album, which is this wonderful different music. Remember his song Superstition that was on that record? This is in the early 1970s. And no one had ever heard this kind of music before. It went straight to the top of the charts immediately. And by the time he was 50, to give you a frame of reference, he's 65 now, same age as me. By the time he was 50, he had 17 Grammys. He's got 25 now, picked up a few extras. By the time he was 50, he had 2 Academy Awards, 4 children, a good marriage, and he was in the Songwriters Hall of Fame. All right? This is a man who knows who he is. If you get the New York Times, go back to this Friday. There's an editorial about Lady Gaga, who received an award. Same story. Change the names, change the colors, change a couple little things, but it's the same story. It brings to mind what Abraham Maslow, the great psychologist, once said. He said, "A musician must make music, an artist must paint, a poet must write, if he is to be ultimately at peace with himself." And then he says, "What one can be, one must be." What one can be, one must be. We have to believe in our own abilities and recognize and develop our own special talents, whatever they are. We need to pursue those talents not because of the recognition and the rewards and the money that we might receive, but because of the joy that they bring to our heart. And the good news is there's always a place in the world for us to express our talents and for those talents to be appreciated by the world. But before the world can appreciate them, we have to appreciate them. We have to appreciate them ourselves. If we can't have faith in ourselves, if we can't have faith in our own desire and stay focused, we can't expect anybody else to have faith or confidence in us either. And this is not about being arrogant or about being overconfident. It's about a quiet knowing, a quiet knowing. It's about a peaceful confidence that we're on the right track. I mean, think of this connection, this power, sort of like a cable car out in San Francisco. Anybody ever ridden the cable cars out there? Really, really a lot of fun. As long as it keeps in touch with its power source, the wire overhead, okay, it keeps moving, keeps running just fine. So in our case, our power source, the wire, or the war, I guess you call it here in the South, that power is our passion. The power is our passion. It's our commitment to be who we really are instead of who the world tells us that we're supposed to be. Now, this isn't just true about our occupation. It holds true in our relationships too, all right? I mean, how often do we pretend to be someone we're not when we first start dating somebody? I know some of you got to think way back to when you were dating, but you know, I do. How many people are their total authentic self on day one when they meet somebody? Oh, come on. Well, you are now maybe, but you sure weren't 20 years ago, okay? And then move this forward. How often do we see people who get into long-term relationships and gradually slip into a role that doesn't fit them? We see that a lot too. Okay? I mean, eventually we all get tired of being someone that we're not. Now, we may do it a while just to keep the peace or to keep the relationship together. We may even do it because we don't know any better, because it's the only kind of relationship we've ever seen. That's how our parents did it, so that's how we do it. No matter what the case happens to be, even while we're doing it, there's something inside of us constantly telling us over and over and over who we really are. And you can't plug your ears because it's coming from the inside, okay? And it will not be quiet. It will not be quiet. We can numb ourselves so we don't hear it, but it's going to keep on going. We may go around telling everybody that we want an honest and meaningful relationship, but our relationship can never be authentic until we become authentic. Until both people involved in the relationship realize who they individually really are, any relationship is not going to be anything more than two strangers dancing in the dark, as Bruce Springsteen said. And that's not the way we want to live. That's not the kind of relationship any of us want to have. Now, we need to understand this, because the truth is our whole life is at stake. Our whole life is at stake. Even though we're all one and we're all connected at the level of God, each one of us is a complete individual. We're the only ones who know where our passion lies, the only one who knows what truly feeds our soul. The interesting thing is, once we start to believe in our own ability to express life in whatever way we choose, once we get clear about that, then our desire and our passion will go along for the ride. It'll start to evolve, okay? And it's not going to force itself or try to force us in any special direction, but it will continue to follow our deepest thoughts and beliefs, continually revising the future that we're moving toward. You get the image of this, the picture of this? And whatever we need to make that future happen will appear in a perfectly natural way. Perfectly natural way. It may come through reading or studying or going to a class or a seminar. It may require practice and a little bit of trial and error because we always want to slide back to the old way that we were. It may include asking other people what worked for them. I mean, it's all good information. All of these things are perfectly legitimate tools to help us on our way, but they don't make anything happen. They don't force anything to happen. They're simply ways to pursue our life's purpose, which is to become what our heart tells us is the real you or the real me. So this is not about doing something or getting something. It's about knowing something and being something. Knowing something and being something. You see, our life flows. Our life flows directly from the source of all things. In fact, more than that, we are the flow. We are actually the flow. We are a flow of consciousness. We are incredibly powerful beings. Marilyn's reading talked about that. Whenever we set our mind on a goal or desire something in our life and we believe that it's already ours, very, very important, we put ourselves in tune with an intelligence that reveals everything we need to know to bring it about. Everything we need to know. All right. As I close, let's make this personal. Because if it ain't personal, it doesn't really matter, okay? It's all theory, okay? If you, or you, or you, or you, or you, I'm in this too. If you have reached a point in your life where you believe that the life that you have created thus far, is not the life you want to live, that's terrific. It really is. Congratulations. Okay? Because now that you're aware of it, you can actually start doing something about it. Now you can start to build a vision. You can start to build a purpose. You can start to build a purpose. And once you do build that purpose and you find it, fall in love with it. Fall in love with it. Plan for it. Organize your life around it. Do whatever needs to be done to make it real. Act with confidence, act with clarity, act with authority, act as if it's already complete. Act as if it's already complete. You see, holding your vision in front of you, the image in front of you, is what will sustain you as you go through the painful periods, the occasional boring periods, and the moments of doubt and fear that try to make you give up. So have faith in your ability, faith in the outcome, and faith in the law, in the spiritual laws. Have faith in yourself. Have faith in yourself. Henry Ford, the great, the guy started the automobile in the assembly line, he said this. He said, "I believe that faith works. If a man starts doing something he believes in and does it with a motive that the universe can respect, that is to make life more livable for others as well as himself, get this, his belief that this work will draw to him the means to do the work. His belief in this work will draw to him the means to do the work." So if you're still not sure exactly who you want to be, not for Halloween, but I mean for real, all right? Listen to what Dr. Raymond Charles Barker, my teacher's teacher, said in a book he has called You Are Invisible. He said, "You are the infinite mind reduced to visibility, proclaiming its ideas by means of your consciousness." Let me read that again. You are the infinite mind reduced to visibility, proclaiming its ideas by means of your consciousness. So remember, nobody can see the magnificent you that you've been hiding inside yourself until you let it out. That's not hard to understand, okay? So maybe it's time you gave them a good look at what's really in there, okay? Maybe it's time to be the person that you've always known you could be. Maybe this Saturday it's time to dress up as you for Halloween. Try that, okay? Instead of as somebody else. You may not win the prize for best costume, but you'll definitely be the best you at the party. I promise. This is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine. And so it is. So it is. All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right, let's just take a moment, take a breath or two, roll your shoulders a little, relax, be completely present where you are, body, mind, and spirit, all one spot, one time, right here, right now. And I'll know this in the first person, know this with me. I know that I am the I am. I am the one power, the one presence, the one life, the one love, all of it in this one package that was born into this physical form from a spiritual idea. So I am a magnificent spiritual being having a physical experience. And the quality of this physical experience, how I feel, how my body is physically, how I love, the relationships I have, the prosperity I have, all these, the career I pursue, all these different things come from that same invisible idea into physical form. So as I begin to work on the spiritual, the physical outpictures it. I begin to create in my life an experience where I wake up every morning excited about the day ahead. I create in my life an experience where I never have a moment where I don't feel loved, and I never have a moment when I don't have the opportunity to give love. I create a life experience where the work I do, even with challenges, no matter what those challenges look like or the people who get in my way, whatever it happens to be, I know that I am more than that. I am greater than that. Nothing can stop an idea whose time has come. And I am a source of ideas. I'm a conduit for the source, but I am a source in and of myself. So as I begin to experience health and wholeness and prosperity and love and joyful creative expression in my work, I begin to see that this life I am creating is emanating from the real me. It's emanating from that spiritual being that I am, from that power that I have, from this incredible spiritual law that works for me all the time. So for all of this, I give thanks. I give thanks for this awareness. I give thanks for the opportunity to be able to practice this in my daily life. I give thanks for all I have created and all I have yet to create. I give of myself to the world, and the world gives back to me multiplied abundantly. So in gratitude for this awareness, I move into my life as me, as the real me, in everything I do. This is my conviction. This is my strength. This is my agreement I have with life. And from this moment on, I keep that agreement. Join me in saying, and so it is.